All right, so now let's turn our attention to today's passage. Let me share my screen. You can follow along. So today's passage comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 26.
Chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the account of Shem. 2 years after the flood, when Shem was 100 years old, he became the father of Arphaxad. And after he became the father of Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and had other sons and daughters. When Arphaxad had lived 35 years, he became the father of Shelah. And after he became the father of Shelah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Shelah had lived 30 years, he became the father of Eber. And after he became the father of Eber, Shelah lived 403 years and had other sons and daughters. When Eber had lived 34 years, he became the father of Peleg. And after he became the father of Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and had other sons and daughters. When Peleg had lived 30 years, he became the father of Reu. And after he became the father of Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and had other sons and daughters. When Reu had lived 32 years, he became the father of Serug. And after he became the father of Serug, Reu lived 207 years and had other sons and daughters. When Serug had lived 30 years, he became the father of Nahor. And after he became the father of Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and had other sons and daughters. When Nahor had lived 29 years, he became the father of Terah. And after he became the father of Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and had other sons and daughters. After Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran.
All right, that's our passage today. Now we have a very special guest messenger today, our good friend, Rocky Mile.
Okay, hello everyone from East Lansing. The title of today's message is The Tower of Babel in the Age of COVID-19, from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Our key verse is verse 8. So the Lord scattered them over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm happy to join you today and to bring you a word of encouragement in this difficult time of COVID-19. Our passage is the well-known story of the Tower of Babel from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. The people of that age, as in ours, wanted significance. They wanted recognition. They wanted people to speak well of them, and they wanted their lives to matter. Which of us have likewise been caught up with our profession, our schooling, our family, and our spiritual lives? We have taken the talents and skills, the gifts and the blessings that God has given us, and we have fashioned and used them to better ourselves and our families. We have also sought human recognition and a comfortable life. In our busyness, we may wonder, how do we also do God's will when our labor is in brick and mortar? Let me begin by saying that I do not think that the building material is what bothered God in this passage. God is the one who gave the people of Babel the wisdom to use brick instead of stone, and the knowledge of building furnaces to bake the bricks thoroughly. He also provided an abundant supply of tar for mortar in that place. But it was the people's motivation and their blind pride that bothered God. Indeed, these godless men were gods unto themselves. Verse 4 says, "Then they said, come, let us build a city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." What does Jesus say concerning how to build? In Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock." And later he said, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Were the men of Babel wise or foolish builders? They were foolish, for they did not build on God's word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only rock, the only sure foundation of whatever we build. But these men built on the sand of Shinar. They thought their life could be great in this valley, and they based that greatness on what they could accomplish together in their own strength and initiative in this world. Some of them had surely heard what God had told to their forefather Noah, which we just heard, that he, when he blessed him, saying, "To be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." But these men said that they did not want to be scattered over the face of the earth. That is, they knew what God said, and they chose not to put what God said into practice. Those outside of Christ are no different today. Look at the effort to colonize Mars, the Googles and the Alibabas, the words of the rich and powerful. People still look to make a name for themselves and to live a life of their own choosing. People want recognition, and they look to the work of their own hands. With modern technology, we can traverse the globe. Here I am talking to you from over 100 miles away. How proud we can be of ourselves. As the Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." Maybe that is why God has let COVID-19 spread across the earth, to remind us that though he made people in his own image, they are not gods, but fallen mankind. We are mortal, and we cannot reach heaven on our own, even if we work all together. Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. His disciples were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said to them, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." As you begin to look at the Abrahamic covenant, listen to what motivated Abram's trust in God. Hebrews 11:10 tell us, "For he," Abraham, "was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." We are part of that city, for we trust in its sure foundations, in the blood, body, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:58 say, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You see, God is not down on us. He loves us, and he gave his one and only son for us. His desire is for everyone to enter the kingdom of God, but most people just focus on what they can accomplish here in this world. God scattered the people of Babel and confused their language so they would stop building the city. Otherwise, they would spend their whole lives building a city and tower to heaven just to die. You are too valuable to God for him to let you do whatever you want. God has plans for you just like he did for the men, women, and children of Babel, though they did not want to follow God's plan. Instead, they decided to settle down and build a name for themselves. Though these people did not follow God's plan, God did not give up on them. He planned to establish nations and cultures through them. God, who is the author of languages, established the languages of the whole world at Babel. He decided to accelerate his development of languages to a single day. And because the people could no longer understand one another because they spoke different languages, they moved away from each other and fulfilled God's call to spread out throughout the earth. We see God's ultimate vision for the people and nations of the world in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You see, God has a great plan for us, no matter what language or culture we come from. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you hope." I do not know what you are going through, your struggles and your pains, especially in this pandemic. Many people are out of work, and many are struggling to juggle work along from home along with taking care of their children. Whatever your situation, God wants you to know that he has a plan and purpose for your life right where you are. It might not seem glamorous or profitable, but God does not judge by human standards. God looks at the heart, and he looks at our faith. These days, I go into work, and as I come home, I spend time with God. It is not the best time of the day, but it is 17 minutes twice a day during my work week that I can be still and know that he is God. He reminds me that he is in control and that he cares for me and is directing my life. Humanly, I would love to tell you that God has given me the success that I desire, but that just is not the case. Instead, I am trusting in his provision each day. I am thankful because God is faithful. And in the midst of COVID-19, I have a job to go to. With less than half the people in the office and half the lines running, I struggle with staying productive. But in these difficult times, God is teaching me how to depend on him for my daily bread. Over the past year, I've been holding on to Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not let anxiety about anything, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I am trying to put worry aside and patiently wait upon God in this time. I wish I always did what was right and said what is proper, but I do not. Our family got a new puppy, a border collie named Bean. The puppy demands a lot of attention, and though this breed is considered the smartest, he has accidents, and he is prone to nipping people. This means that he spends a good amount of time locked in his cage. This is often how I feel as well. Being stuck in a cage is part of training. We do not like it, but it is necessary in learning obedience. Simply put, living in Christ is not an easy road. The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. They measure success in worldly terms that are obvious to see. Our success is measured in godly character and in love. Our hope is not in this world, but we live our lives here in this world. Jesus told us to take heart, for he has overcome the world. Like wise builders, when we build our lives based on Jesus' command to love him and to love one another, we are building our lives on the rock. I do not know about you, but it has been hard being stuck in my house. At times, it is hard to love my family, let alone loving people outside these four walls. But that is what Jesus calls us to do in spite of our difficulties, in spite of COVID-19. Are there people that you know who you could encourage by a call or a note? Maybe among your own coworkers? Try sending a letter in Jesus' name or dropping off a cake or a plate of cookies. You do not need to go in, but people still need to know that you care. I just sent a text to my mother and brother, who I haven't seen for many months. I wish they would contact me, but in this time, it is important that we take the initiative, that we reach out to others. Your neighbors are people close to you that you can reach out to this week. Make it a point to think of three different family members or individuals or friends who you could bless. Before you contact them, pray for them. Pray for their situation and their anxieties. Many people are worried, not able to get enough news about the spread of the disease and the number of cases and deaths each day. Many people do not share our faith, and many may ask you for the hope that you have. People have time, and many are looking to God. This is an opportunity that God has given us to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. Let it start with us and spread through our household and out to our neighbors and friends. Let's do it as a family, that our children may be involved and build relationships that will last this pandemic. Whatever step you can take to make a difference for Christ in someone else's lives, why don't you just do it? Jesus said, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that person will certainly not lose their reward. God wants us to love one another in very simple ways. We don't need to build a great tower. It doesn't take that much, but we need to take action. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of God. It is ancient words, but it comes to us clearly as pertinent to our own time and place. Lord, our language has been confused as we've been separated from one another and unable to do the things that we normally do, and we have been separated from one another. But help us not to stop loving one another. Help us not to stop building on the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ and the loving example that he gave us. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we'll have a concluding prayer and benediction by Greg Lewis.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the grace of God that comes down and is with us and doesn't allow us to stay within our own ways of building our lives, but he intervenes by his grace, gets his hands dirty, and seeks to realign us with his purpose and will, and to show us how important and valuable we are to him and to what he wants to do in this world, and how he wants to know us and be known by us, and to bring fruition to the image of God in which we were made. Thank you for Rocky and his love and care and willingness to fill in the gap as my friend and brother in Christ, to preach and to serve today's message. Continue to bless our Genesis study. Hear our prayers for using this COVID-19 season to scatter the will and the purposes of God through our lives into the world, and to more deeply obey the command to love one another as God has loved us. Help us to reach out to three people, Lord. Even now as I pray, I ask everyone to think about specifically who are those three people. Name them in your mind, in your heart. Commit yourself to reach out to them, to write a note, to drop a text message, to make a phone call. Scatter the beauty and the wonder of God's grace and plan and purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord to them in small but meaningful ways, Lord. Hear our prayer for the Coopers and Thank you for the life and ministry of Mr. Hannah Cooper, one of our pioneering members of our church and integral in even raising me and being part of my story that brought me to this church, Lord. Watch over Missionary Don and John and Paul in their mother's absence now in heaven, and surround them with people who can help them to grieve the loss of their beloved mother, people who can listen and encourage and love and just be with them during this time, Lord, of real grief and loss. At the same time, we celebrate one day knowing we will see her again in crowning glory with our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing our benediction.